Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hi, it's Dave here, and I'm with my wife, Kathy.
Hello, Dave.
And you're listening to The Cinemile, the podcast where we walk home from the movies. But as you can probably tell, we're not walking at all. We're sitting on the couch.
Yes, and we are watching a Netflix movie called Triple Frontier, which is possibly the most generic movie name I've ever heard.
I mean, you'd look at that title and not have a clue what it's about.
No.
And I still don't know what it's about, really. I've gathered from the title and the poster, which is full of rugged, manly soldier men being all manly. It's a lot of manly men.
I know, it's like one of these. I mean, it's really the power of star power. Because the only thing I know about this movie is that Ben Affleck's in it. I saw a brief trailer flashing up, I think, when I was in the cinema for
Captain Marvel, there was a trailer.
Yeah, but I wasn't paying attention and I just saw that Ben Affleck was in it and it was on Netflix.
They had to offset all the feminist subtext of that movie by putting a manly trailer full of manly men being manly in front of
it. And it was basically Ben Affleck Netflix. And then the only other thing I know about it is that this is kind of where the infamous photo of him
with the back tattoo
was when he was frolicking with his co-stars of this movie on a beach.
Frolicking.
So it ended up being like inadvertently like the best marketing ever because it went completely viral. So yeah, that's actually all I know about it.
So this is the back tattoo movie.
This is the back tattoo movie. Oh my God. He better get his shirt off.
Do you think he's going to show the back tattoo in this?
I hope so.
Oh my God, exciting.
And we love when Netflix release big movies like this, not because they tend to be very good, because they don't tend to be.
It's because it's really hard for us to get to
yeah, so this is much easier. And we get to have our dinner. So tonight we're going to have a really lazy dinner, which is one that rustle up from the back of the store.
Why are you talking about our dinner?
Because I think people might be interested.
Nobody's
best
interested
dinner
in what
ever,
we're
right?
for dinner.
It's basically two things you buy in Aldi. Pasta, and then
We're
not sponsored by Aldi. Anyone who's ever tasted this sauce will know that it's worthy of being spoken about on this podcast. It's a tomato mascarpone sauce, but it's basically like pure
Stop
cream.
Trying to set up your spin-off cooking podcast.
Pure
right?
cream.
Nobody gives a shit.
It's amazing. Anyway, I totally recommend buying it. It's like a pound in Aldi. And on that note, let's start Triple Frontier.
And maybe it'll be as cheesy as this movie. That's why they pay me the big bucks.
Is this movie cheesy?
I've got to say, I apologise for my voice as well. I'm really unwell.
Dave is like the most self-pitying man flu I've ever seen.
Excuse me.
Self-pitying.
First of all, this isn't man flu. I found the definition of man flu insulting.
What is the definition?
As if my flu is somehow inferior to yours.
No, the only difference between man flu and regular flu is that the person who's afflicted with man flu complains about it all the time.
I'm not complaining. All I was doing was...
You've been complaining all weekend.
I was acknowledging... why my voice sounds weird to the podcast
right
listeners.
Okay, well let's go and have our lovely Aldi pasta sauce.
Okay. Bye.
Everything we've done for the last 17 years with nothing to show for it.
You've been shot 5 times for your country and you can't even afford
to send your kids to college. If we had accomplished half the things that we've accomplished in any other profession, we'd be set for life.
I'm your masters of war.
The question is, do we finally get to use our skills for our own benefit?
We're gonna get Gabriel Martin Larea.
He's got over $75 million in cash.
If we're not gone forever after you make your move, we are dead.
All right, so that movie is over. We watched that movie.
Yeah.
It's called Triple Frontier.
It felt very long.
No, I thought it did feel long. When you end up pausing something and then going to make a cup of tea, suddenly it just like drags into infinity.
Yeah, this is why I will always maintain, despite us, you know, cheekily getting a podcast out of this one, it's always better to watch movies in the cinema.
Not always.
Well, to me, particularly action movies. Because if you get distracted during an action movie, or if you pause it to go and make a cup of tea or whatever,
or if you go on your phone,
you lose the impact of it.
You can't tell, but I'm staring at Kathy pointedly.
Whereas if I was in the cinema, I would be giving it my full attention, and it probably wouldn't have lost me around the point when it did. But we didn't know what it was about before we started watching it. So, quick synopsis as we're reading from the screen here. Loyalties are tested when five former Special Forces operatives, it's a mouthful, reunite to steal a drug lord's fortune, unleashing a chain of unintended consequences. And Ben Affleck,
with sexy results.
Sexy. Ben Affleck's right at the front of the image, albeit Oscar Isaac's actually the star. Which I was really pleased to realise, because I love Oscar Isaac and he's my favourite actor.
Yeah, but they've put... Okay, so we're looking at the poster with the five guys in sort of flying V formation, looking all macho. But they've put Ben Affleck at the front because he's a bigger name than Oscar Isaac.
Just saying he's not the star of the movie. I mean, obviously he's a bigger name.
Oscar Isaac's the driving force of this movie, yeah, for sure.
Though I would say, actually, if you were to look at them side by side right now in terms of body of work and like being in demand, Oscar Isaac's actually the bigger actor.
Oh, yeah.
Ben Affleck's famous.
He's the rising star,
yeah,
for sure. But if you were like... If you were the marketeers, who would you put front?
I would always put Oscar Isaac front and center of everything.
Yeah, okay.
But yeah, so like, what did you think about it in general sense before we get to spoiler sofa?
I thought at the beginning, I thought this movie was pretty lame.
Yeah.
Like, just like ticking every single cliche it could on its way to a predictable result. It was just like basically like putting a team together. You're the best of the best. We're old colleagues. Let's have a beer and talk it out. I'm an MMA fighter with a heart of gold. It's like, what? It's like, stop it. But then it kind of almost reaches a very early climax in the very in the first act. And after that, I was like, all right, now I've no idea where this movie's going, and I'm interested. I'm invested. And then it started taking some really interesting turns, which I'd like to talk about in spoiler street.
Spoiler sofa.
Spoiler sofa. But overall, I thought it was a good movie. I thought it was it surprised me. I certainly it subverted a lot of my expectations. And overall, I think I thought it was a good ride. It's not
a good ride.
It was a fun. I'm not allowed to say that for a movie experience. Like, it was a bit of an adventure, but in a very morose. Do you know what it was? It was almost like the A Team, but without any of the fun.
I was thinking that
it was like a dry balls A Team.
And yeah, I was like at the start as well. I was like, fuck, this is so crap. It's so cliched. At least if you're going to be this cliched, like, have a bit of humor, because it's very po-faced. Oscar Isaac really carried a lot of scenes where he was the sole source of like any energy or anything interesting. And it's a funny one to watch these five characters on screen together, because I would say they're quite low energy and dull. So having the charisma of Oscar Isaac was like a godsend in some of the earlier scenes. And then, as you said, it got suddenly very interesting after the first act, and I was genuinely engaged by it. But then right by the end, it lost me again.
I warmed to them. At the beginning, I just thought they were a load of bros. Like, it was just... And I thought, this is a movie for bros.
I mean, it is. Like, this is a movie aimed at men, starring men.
Yeah, but actually, I thought as it progressed, it kind of had something to say. And the characters got a lot more interesting.
It got interesting. Like, there's definitely some really interesting moral dilemmas, which we'll speak to in spoiler sofa. But ultimately, it's a film of, like, five macho men. There's only one woman in it, and she's only referenced constantly about how good-looking she is. And it's just... Like, it had some good elements, like, that elevated it for sure. But because it was so po-faced and dreary a lot of the time, they dragged it down. Like, a movie, like, you know, in all its violence and, like Rambo is a much better movie than this. Like, of this genre...
Yeah, but that's not a fair comparison.
No, but there's a lot of similarities. And, like, of this kind of genre...
There is, to be fair.
Yeah, like, of this kind of genre, like, I expect probably really stylistic violence or, like... a lot of humor. I would say this had neither, but it did have the moral dilemmas that you don't often see in this sort of movie. And it had really lovely looking scenery at some points. Like, it looked expensive.
But you're right, actually. It does compare very well to Rambo, because it's all about veterans dealing with their place in the world. But actually, I think to that point that we were just discussing about it being macho and bros, I think it started like that, and that's what I thought it was going to be. But I thought it didn't revel in that or glorify any of it. It actually just kind of deconstructed it all, like, as in the macho nature of their jobs, their skills, and the violence, and how commonplace and how dangerous it can be for them if they start losing grip on their morals.
Well, it's interesting to see, and again, I think we should get to spoiler sofa really soon, but it's really interesting to see five ex-military men operating on their own outside of the boundaries that the army imposes on them, because obviously when you're in the army, you've got like very strict rules you have to stick to. And this is kind of what happens if you've given these people these like insane skills, like these, you know, like skills that I personally don't appreciate, how violent they are and how well trained they are, don't have.
Just to be clear, Kathy does not have special forces training.
But it's like, what happens if you've got that skill set but you're broke and you don't work within the confines of the army, and it's really dangerous. And I think that's probably the interesting hook of it, and I think that would have been probably a better way of selling it, instead of loyalties attested when five former special forces operatives reunite to steal a drug lord's fortune, because that's really not what the movie's about.
Well, exactly. They position this movie as sort of a real thrilling, no holds barred heist movie.
Yeah, like Widows is such a better heist than this. Like, I was thinking of Widows at certain points and like how much cooler the heist in Widows was.
Because this is just
a catalyst.
Can we just go to spoiler street now then?
Spoiler sofa for Triple Frontier.
I would recommend this. I thought it's an interesting movie. They don't quite pull it off.
It's 70% there though.
Yeah, it's like it's very well put together. I thought it was like everyone performs it quite well.
You don't get a back tattoo from Ben Affleck, I'm really sorry to say.
Oh, so annoying. He had his clothes on the whole time.
But yeah, I mean, to your point when you said you don't think it's that bro-ish, I think it is. I still recommend
it.
Are we on
spoiler sofa now?
We're just about to get to spoiler sofa.
Go on, sorry.
So I was just going to say, I recommend it as, like, let's get real. It's a brand new big action movie on Netflix. People are going to watch it.
Let's get real. It's real time.
Like, it's just good.
Real talk with Kathy Cullen.
It's good to watch movies that it's good to watch movies that other people are watching, because you get to talk about them, which is nice.
It's good to watch movies that other people are watching.
It is. I said the same with Bird Box. Like, what, you know, watch it. People are going to be talking about it. Like, this ain't no Bird Box in terms of, like, you know, international conversations.
This ain't no Bird Box in that I enjoyed this. And it actually was pretty good.
But now we're on spoiler sofa for Triple Frontier. And firstly, why is it called Triple Frontier?
I don't know. Should we Google that?
Probably something to do with the mountains that we didn't understand where they were and had to go on Google Maps.
Is it because they keep having to... The frontier just keeps getting further and further away?
I don't know. So we need to get into this, what we both really enjoyed and kind of exclaimed about while we were watching it. So, like, they kind of posited at the start that, like, Ben Affleck's, like, the most ambiguous about going back into this, and we think he's like a really good guy, and he even gives them all a pep talk where he's like, the family's not going to get injured, and we're here to get in and get out. And then as soon as they see how much money there is there, which is like hundreds and hundreds of millions of dollars, once they get to this drug lord's house,
how good was the bit that was in the walls? Like, that's a really good visual.
That was really cool. But like, they got to the drug lord's house like, what, 25 minutes into the
film? But that's what was so surprising. Yeah. We like paused it to go get some tea or something, and then it was like 1 hour and 40 minutes left, and we were like, our brains were racing, and we were like, okay, so either either it all go tits up and they get chased by the drug lord, or they steal from the drug lord and the rest of the movie is chasing the drug lord.
I had the best idea.
Yeah, you did.
So, because at one point after they've gone in, and so they go in, kill loads of people even though they weren't supposed to, find loads of money, and suddenly Ben Affleck like turns and he's like, we need to get more money, we need to get more money. And it's that intoxicating sense of like being that close to that amount of money. And Ben Affleck basically blows it, but they all go along with it. And I think the implication might have been that he was their captain in the army. So they're kind of, even though they're not in the army anymore, they can't help but do what he says, because they're following
Isaac
him blindly.
Was the captain, but he was like, it was hard to tell actually.
Basically, they whatever Ben Affleck and Oscar Isaac said, they were like just doing it even though they didn't want to do it. But then they leave and they shot everyone and they drive really slowly past the son of the drug lord who looks at them, and I was like, oh my god, there's so much time left in this movie. I thought it was going to be like 20 years later and that kid was going to come back and hunt them all down. I was like, I can't wait to see that.
But did you think they were going to age everyone up by 20 years?
It would be pretty easy.
But actually Ben Affleck did get undone by the son of somebody he murdered in the end.
Yeah, or
so you weren't far off. But actually, let's go back to that bit, because I thought that's where the movie got really interesting.
Yeah, it was peak interesting.
And also, I also thought it was interesting that the heist, they got away with it now, but they didn't get it. Was messy and flawed. But I assumed if a heist is going to happen this early on, it's not going to be successful. So then the rest of the movie, as it turned out, was just them trying to get this money out of Brazil, past like the Andes, and the challenges that they kept throwing at them, and were mounting challenges, were really
so annoying to the viewer, because you're like, oh my god, stop,
leave the money, it's like, so frustrating.
Yeah, like they're supposed to be getting $75 million and they leave with $250 million, which is such a stupid amount of money. And then they're trying to get it onto the helicopter and the pilot says, but we won't be able to get over the Andes with all this money. And then Ben Affleck says, just do it. And then the pilot's like,
and then he's like, okay, I guess
we can
do it. And
then Ben Affleck menacingly threatens the one woman in the movie. He's like, let's leave her. It's like, she most weighs 110 pounds. Like, she is not the problem.
How interesting how dark Ben Affleck got so quickly.
So quickly,
and
yeah.
Either he was always had that in him, because we didn't really get see a lot of his character. He was quite quiet.
Okay, all we know is that he's selling a 3-bed apartment for $120,000.
Yeah, we'll take it.
Which is like maybe 80 or 90 like, thousand English pounds.
Look like a shit hole.
Yeah, but I'm sorry, that apartment was 3 times the size of our house.
I thought his character was basically like Walter White from Breaking Bad if it had happened in one episode instead of 5 series.
But then it's like he didn't really speak at the start, so we didn't actually, because we saw him with his daughter and stuff, we presumed he's a nice guy. And then she says that he was made retire, like forced to retire, so maybe he did actually.
But that's what was so interesting about how the first act sort of set up almost deliberately these cliches and these sort of archetypal characters that we all just assumed Ben Affleck was the noble hero because he's at the front of the poster. We assumed Garrett Hedlund was the brash, reckless fighter because he was the bro. But he turned out to be the most sensible one.
Yeah, we were like, he's going to die.
He was like, no, we got to go. And I liked when they said to Ben Affleck, I've been running missions with you for 10 years. You've never missed a hard out. What are you doing? But he was so corrupted by the money, like instantly. And I thought that was like a really interesting take on how human greed can just quickly unravel everything.
Well, it's like money corrupts, but lots of money corrupts absolutely.
That's not an expression at all. Nice try. And I thought it was interesting how it kind of flipped in that we thought Oscar Isaac was the one who would end up screwing everything up for everyone, but he kind of...
Isaac can never screw anything up for anyone.
But actually, it was really Ben Affleck was the...
Yeah, that was all fun. And then they're in the helicopter and it was
just
like...
progressively worse.
Like, what are you doing? Like, nobody needs this level of money. And then it's like, it's so fascinating how they... again, just all go along with Ben Affleck. And I think they could have written the characters a little bit better to kind of explain why they were going along with that, because they should have all been like, listen man, we've enough money, we can drop $100 million right now, get over and just have it. Instead of like, they're climbing through the Andes with like mules.
But I kind of get it, like it makes sense. If you're in that position and you think you can get out of there with the money, you're gonna try and do it, right? It's very easy for us to say, oh, just drop the money, you've still got 50 million. But it's like, that's a really difficult choice for anyone to be facing.
Yeah, it was a really good dilemma.
So seductive about that wall of cash, wasn't there? You just want it all.
But then when Ben Affleck starts opening up more and more walls, and we were like, what is he doing? And even the guys in the group were like, stop it, we've enough money. Like, everyone was like, we've enough money. But then I just thought it was a little bit silly that they all went along with him. And then, I mean, it just becomes all unraveled so quickly. So they kind of went from the very start.
But it's like you said, they would go along with him to some extent because they're used to that military structure.
Yeah.
And follow commands.
And it's like interesting at the start of the mission where they go in and they just like kind of knock the guards out and like tie them up, and then at the end they're just shooting anyone who looks at them.
I thought that was really interesting. Yeah, they're so careful. And then you've got the bit where Pedro Pascal literally goes to the guys he's tied up and starts shooting them in the head. So they started with such noble intentions,
and then on the way out,
as soon
shooting,
as it unraveled, they're just shooting everybody.
And then they get to like when they crash land the helicopter.
Oh, I thought that was so tragic and sad. That first of all, the helicopter crash was brilliantly well done. I thought all the action scenes in this,
it looks expensive.
This is the first movie I've seen by director J.C. Chandor, but he's done movies I've heard of, like Margin Call, which is the financial one, and that one with Oscar Isaac, or what was it called, something
where he's
year.
A gang, he's a mobster,
which is supposed to be very good.
I have heard that one's really good, as recommended by my dad. My dad recommended that one.
That's not what it's called.
But yeah, anyway, so that was all really interesting. And then it's like, we don't need to go into specifics, but it's like the moral decline of the group accumulating in them climbing through the Andes with like pack mules carrying their money, which is just hilarious.
But actually, that was an amazing visual when the pack mule falls off and that money explodes.
And we just watched Free Solo last night, so it's like Free Solo part two.
And the I thought there were some really interesting moments, like that bit was really interesting. The bit in the village was just like really powerful. And then the like
they're
Ben Affleck walking
the
past the son with the Brazil jersey on.
Yeah.
He just says, "I'm sorry." And it's just like, it's kind of, it was just awful, and it got progressively worse. And then, but like the scene of them burning the money and kind of laughing hysterically, there's some really like memorable stuff in this.
And I'm like, now you'll burn the money, whereas you wouldn't just throw like one bag of it off when you're about to like helicopter crash. But yeah, I mean, all that stuff, it's just, there's something about it, like all the moral elements, I love when a movie tackles moral dilemmas like that. And I thought the movie handled that stuff really well. But then in the end, it just kind of...
Oh, the end was terrible.
Like, the end just turned into, like, loads
Schmaltz.
Of chase scenes. And then right at the end, they're splitting up the money. And then they all... Like, first of all, they carry Ben Affleck's corpse all the way back, which I think's outlandish and
I
like,
think
unnecessary.
Those four guys would do that, though.
Maybe, but like Ben Affleck's the one who got them in this mess in the first place, and when he was shot in the head, I was like genuinely happy to see his character gone, because I found him so vile. And then they carried him back, and then in the end they each end up, because they brought some cash in their backpacks, which like, hello, you could have done the whole time. They all, there's five of them, and they have like $5 million, you know, so Ben Affleck's family is going to get $1 million, and the others are each going to get $1 million each. And then they're all like, I'm giving my money to his family. And then there's this big noble scene where they all give their money. And I just felt it rang really hollow. Like, I don't believe for a second after all of that that those men would give up. Because one of them himself had just said he just had a baby. Like, he needs the money too.
Yeah.
And, like, Ben Affleck's family, like, they don't need $5 million. But those men individually need some money. Like, nobody needs $5
million. It made sense for Charlie Hunnam's character to do it. Because, actually, he was almost the most underwritten one. Or he was, in a way, he was just, like... sterling and noble throughout.
He was the strong and silent type, and he was shot, and then nothing came of it. We were like waiting for him to die of sepsis.
No, but I liked that. I actually they kept subverting my expectations. So I always admire when a movie does that. But the end was just so schmaltzy. It was just like
so tedious.
I felt like bleh.
Yeah, I just thought like, I just hate that they all gave the money to him, and then I hated when Oscar Isaac's like, "There's a girl I know in Australia."
Oh, that was awful. As well. Oh my god, it was just like, really just left a bad taste in my mouth by the end. But actually, I thought that you said the whole last bit of the chase was I thought all the action scenes were actually quite tense and quite thrilling, and they set up some really interesting stuff, like the way Oscar Isaac, they were being chased by teenagers in a local village who they admittedly said, we could plough through them and massacre them, but we can't do that. And like, he was almost willing to do it, and it's all about them trying to what are you doing?
Oh, I'm just ripping up the lotto ticket.
You're not going to hear that in the podcast.
For anyone who's interested, I bought a lotto ticket yesterday. We didn't win.
Nobody's interested. You're talking about what we're having for dinner, and you're ripping up lotto tickets. That's because you're loudly ripping it while we're recording a podcast. You have to do that now.
I was discreetly ripping.
I don't even remember what I was saying. Oh yeah, they were being chased by teenagers, and Oscar Isaac refused to shoot any of them, even when they were in mortal danger. I could see you switching off. You just don't even care.
I do care.
That's because, like, you weren't even watching that bit of the movie, because you
so
were on
dumb.
IMDb or something.
I was trying to look up what the brother was in, because I couldn't remember. Turns out he was in Forgetting, or no.
Nobody cares!
He was in Inside Llewyn Davis.
Watch the
with
movie.
With Oscar Isaac. I don't remember him. Obviously, I remember Oscar Isaac. But yeah,
he was in Tron Legacy.
I mean, honestly,
one of the most memorable.
Oh God, of course, movies. How could I forget? But I just think the moral dilemmas of this at the center of this movie would have been so much better if the rest of the movie had been better written and if they'd had a more interesting, diverse cast. Because really, a cast of bros, I'm just not into it.
A cast of bros. That's what they should have called it.
And I just, I get the feeling that like the five men on this movie would have like bonded so much that they all would have got,
that they
like,
all got the same back tattoos.
Yeah, like, and like for them it's like this profound life changing experience, and for me it's just like a very middle of the road movie. That's kind of my vibe.
I thought it was, honestly did think it was good.
What does that mean on Netflix there where it says 5.1?
That's the audio.
Oh,
surround sound.
I thought it was 5.1 out of 10, which I was like thinking was a pretty fair rating.
5.1? You'd give this 5.1 out of 10?
No.
So specific.
I'd give it 5.2. No, I'd give it 6. I think it's just annoying
me.
We don't
do ratings here.
The more I look at the picture, because it's just like five macho men carrying their stupid bags of cash. So in the end, I'm glad the woman's the only one who went to
look. It was really interesting how they were transporting those bags.
It was just
like,
ridiculous.
Literally, like pulling them up on pulleys up a mountain. It was like, some of it was quite ingenious.
Yeah, I mean,
anyway,
it looks very physical.
Let's stop.
We're rambling.
It's so late.
And Dave's, you know, yet to recover from his man flu.
Are you stop cradling your ripped up lotto ticket. Like,
it's
over. You didn't win.
It's weird when we're not walking. I don't actually know what to do.
I'll tell you what to do. You record the podcast and talk about the movie. You don't just sit here talking about your dinner plans and ripping up lotto.
Yeah, well, Dave's very down on me playing the lotto, so I've just said if I win, he's not getting any of the money.
Sorry, hang on. I'm not down on you playing the lotto. That doesn't make any sense. I just refuse to engage in your lotto fantasies.
Well, and clearly then, my number one fantasy is if I win the lotto to give all the money to my friend's family.
To Ben Affleck's
for no
family. So they can get back tattoos for the rest of their life. All right, come on.
Right.
Thanks. Do the spiel.
Thank you. Last time, after we went to see Captain Marvel, I said I gave a plea for iTunes reviews because I said they're like the currency of podcasting.
And lots of you did it. Thank you.
We got two more reviews.
Oh, two of you did it. Thank you.
Two. Now, that's only in the English podcast charts. Might have been on the other ones. But yeah, it's like, honestly, for all the people who listen to this podcast, getting people to leave a review is like flogging a dead horse.
Don't stop, leave them alone.
To get someone to leave a review is like to get a back tattoo.
You do this every episode.
It's as hard as getting a back tattoo.
You don't need to hammer it home.
I think I do.
They probably started turning off at this point.
Really?
Oh, Kathy's doing her
iTunes
review.
All I ask is but honestly, if you like the podcast and you get it for free, and we love all of our listeners and we love all the feedback we get, but all we ask is for an iTunes review.
And you can talk to us on Twitter, Facebook or Instagram at The Cinemile, or email us thecinemile@gmail.com. Let us know what you think of Ben Affleck's back tattoo.
and what you
send us pictures of your back tattoos.
And the best back tattoo will win a prize.
What's the prize?
The best back tattoo will win
a percentage of Kathy's
lotto.
No,
the best back tattoo will get a jar of that pasta sauce from Aldi. Send us your address. We don't accept responsibility if the jar smashes in the post, okay? And no,
okay,
nobody's
bye.
Getting any
One
of my lotto winnings.
Bed.
Okay, bye.
Bye. Stop it.
Make no mistake about it. You guys need to own the fact that we do not have the flag on our shoulders. You cannot go back to your normal life after tonight.